The eighth parak continues what we've been talking about, somebody who is makdish a field, a steachuza to the Beis HaMikdash, but now we're going to talk about when it's not the time of Yovel. It's the time of Yovel, he can redeem it before the Yovel for 50 shkalim, for a certain size of the field, but now not at the time of Yovel, he actually has to redeem it for actual value through an auction process. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, HaMakdish et Sadeo b'shashen Yovel, somebody who is makdish his field, his de'achuza, but it's not the time of Yovel, the majority of Jews are not living in the land of Israel. Omrim lo, when it comes to the auction, the person who donated at that field is required to make the first bid in the auction. Omrim lo, p'sachat harishon, what's your bid? Shabalim nos nechomesh, and in addition, we want to take the balim, if all else equal, we want to take the original donor, you want to take his bid, because he's going to have to add a chomesh, v'chol adameinu nos nechomesh, and if it's a third party that buys that field at auction, they're not going to have to add a chomesh, so obviously we want the donor to win. We want to take his bid because he's going to pay the extra amount. There was an occurrence that happened. Then somebody had a losing field. He was losing money on the field because it wasn't very productive. And he donated it to the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't want to have that field. But as is the process, they auctioned it off. They required him to give the first bid. Amru lo, p'sachat harishon, what's your bid? You're required to make an offer. Amar harehi shali b'isar, I don't want this field, and if you're requiring me to do so, I'm going to give a lowball offer, and it's an isar, a very small amount of money. Amar Rabbi Yossi lo amar zel kabeitza. In fact, Rabbi Yossi says he only offered an egg. I don't want to buy the field, so I'm going to give you an egg. Sheha hektesh nifta bekesu v'shavakesa, because when somebody is being poda, his hektesh, something he donated it, you can give money or you can give an item. And he offered an egg. But either way, Amar lo, the auctioneer on behalf of the Beis HaMikdash, Higiascha, you won the bid. Nobody else wants this property. It's a bad piece of property. Nimsam Nafsid Yisra. So this individual, he wanted to try to get rid of his property by donating it to the Beis HaMikdash. And he lost the Isar because he had to bid and he had to pay the Isar to redeem that field. V'sadei lefanav, and he wound back with the sod of the field that he didn't want. Anyway, Mishnah Beis continues the auctioning issues. Amar echad harei shali b'eser slime. If somebody came and said, I am offering 10 slime for the field, and then there was a bidding upward, v'echad omer b'eshim, and somebody outbid him for 20, v'echad omer b'shloshim, 30, v'echad omer b'arbaim, 40, v'echad omer b'chamishim. That highest bid, 50, so he won, but chazer bo shel chamishim, he reneged, and he said, I'm not going forward with the purchase, so if we let him renege, then the Hakdash is losing out 10 slayim. So what we do is we require him to pay the 10 slayim, and mashkinim and achasavad aser. We are going to take assets from him worth 10 to make sure that he is the Beis HaMikdash is not going to lose out. And then we're going to go to the second highest bid of 40. Chazabo b'shel Abraham, what happens if the 40 bidder, he now reneges as well, mashkinim and achasavad aser. We're going to take from him something worth an asset worth 10 slayim, so the Beis HaMikdash is made whole, and we're going to go to the person who bid 30. But, chazal bo shloshim, the person who bid 30, he also reneged. Not a lot of honest people here today. Mimashkinim min achasav aneser, we're going to take 10 from him. Chazal bo shloshim, the person who bid 20, he also reneged. Mimashkinim min achasav aneser, he's going to have to pay 10, so the Beis HaMikdash is made whole. Chazal bo shloshim, the person who bid 10, the first bid, he also reneged, but here we have the field to sell, so we're not going to take 10 from him. We're going to take 10 less the amount that we sell the field for. Morchin oso b'shavya, we will sell the field at its worth, actual price, actual selling price. V'nifrayim mishal eser et hamoser, and we're going to take the balance from the person who offered the 10, so the Beis HaMikdash will be made whole. Another halacha, balim omrim b'esrim v'chol adam omrim b'esrim. What happens if there are equal bids? The original owner who donated the field says, I will buy it back for esrim for 20, and somebody else, a third party, offers 20. Habalim kodmi, we're going to give the bid, we're going to give the field, sell the field to the Bali, B'nei Mosivin Chomesh, because they are adding on Chomesh as well, so the Beis HaMikdash is benefiting. Mishnah Gimel, we have a situation that the highest bid is actually more than the donor's basic bid. So, for example, if the donor's basic bid is 20, and there's a higher bid that's more, 21, but when we add on the Chomesh that the donor has to pay, he's going to be paying 25. So that's the situation, that the basic bid of the donor is lower, that when we add the chomesh on, his bid is higher than the third party. And what the halacha is based on a pasuk is we're not allowed to sell it to the donor for the, his basic price for less than a third party is willing to offer, because that shows that the price, the actual price of the field is higher than the donor. So if the donor was only offering 20, with the chomesh at 25, but the third party is offering 21, we're going to require the donor to pay 21. We're going to have him increase his bid by one. Mishnah Gimel says as follows, Amar Echad, Hareishi Libesrim Vechad. Somebody says, I'm offering 21. So the original owner bids 20, and a third party bids 21. So the original owner, when he bids 20, is going to have to pay an additional chomesh, which is 25. But here, his original offer is 20, is less than the 21, so he's paying less than fair value. Habalim nosim ve'yashrim v'sheish. We are going to increase the 25 that he has to pay. He's going to have to pay an additional one, May 26. And now we're going to work our way all the way up, 22, 23, 24. So all of these assumes that the original owner bid 20 and somebody else outbid him. Be'eshrim v'shtayim. Somebody else bid 22. Habalim nosim ve'yashrim v'sheva. The original owner is going to have to pay his 20, plus the chomech, which is 25, and an additional 2 to pay 27. Be'estrim v'shalosh, third party offers 23. Habalim nosim be'estrim v'shmona. The balim is going to have to pay 28. Be'estrim v'arba, if a third party offers 24. Habalim nosim tisha v'esrim. The owner is going to have to pay, the original donor is going to have to pay 29. B'chamisha v'esrim, if the third party offers 25 on the field. Habalim nosim shlosim. The balim is going to have to pay 30. Now, what's interesting here is, each time we said he's going to have to match the bid, he's not going to pay chomesh on the additional amount. So for example, if the original bid of the owner was 20, somebody else bid 21, so the owner's going to have to pay 20 plus 25, that's the chomesh, and an additional one. He's not going to have to pay chomesh on that additional one that we're increasing his price to match the 25. So that's based on a pasuk, shein mosifin chomesh al iluyo shelzeh, the owner, the original donor, he doesn't have to add a chomesh on the increase that we're increasing his price, because he has to match the third party's bidding price. Amar Echad Harei Shalib Le'ashrim V'Shesh. We're dealing with the situation now that the highest bid is equal to the total bid of the owner, including the chomesh. So the highest bidder, for example, is 25. We'll just throw that out. And the original owner, if his bid is equal, his bid is 20 plus 5, that's 25. What are we going to do in a situation like this? So in fact, as we'll see shortly, the bid of the original owner has to be a little bit more than the third party in order for him to win the property. Amar Echad, Harehi Shali Be'eshrim V'Sheish. If we have somebody that bid 26, if the original offer of the owner was only 20, he's not going to get it. He has to offer 21, and if he offers 21, and then we add on a chomesh to that, a chomesh is going to be an additional 5 1/4. That's going to get us up to 26 1/4, and because his original bid was 21, and the competitor is 26, we're going to increase by 5, because he has to match, his basic price has to match the third party's bid as well, so he's going to have to pay an additional 5, so it's going to come out as follows. It's going to be his 21 is his bid. That's his basic price. Plus a chomesh, 5 1/4 is 26 1/4. And then to match the other bid, he's going to have another 5. That is going to be 31 1/4. Amar Echad, Harei Shali Be'eshrim V'Sheish. Somebody bid 26. Imratzu Abalim Niten Shloshim Ve'Echad V'Dinar. If the Balim, the original donor, if they want to pay the full 31 and a dinar, which is 31 1/4. So if his basic bid is going to have to be 21, then he's going to get it all. It's going to go all the way up to 31 1/4. Habalim Kamim, he's going to win it. However, Vimlav, if his original bid is only 20, not 21, Omrim Higiascha, we're going to say to that third party, you won the bid. Mishnah Dalet is turning to a new issue and a new concept for us, and it's going to last throughout the parak, and that is a cheirim. If somebody wants to give, not an erech of something, but he says, I'm going to give a cheirim of something, that means he is donating something to either the Beis Hamikdash. There are two types of cheirim. One is a cheirim that goes to the Bet HaKabayis. So if somebody says, this item is a cheirim to the Bet HaKabayis, it means he's donating it to the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash will sell it and use the money. Or he can say, this is a cheirim to Kohanim, which means he is donating an item, he's giving over ownership of an item to a specific Kohen that he's going to designate. We will be talking primarily about the Cheirim to Kohanim. Mishnah Dalet says as follows, Machrim Adam Mitzono Mivkaro. Somebody is permitted to make a Cheirim, to give it to a Kohen of his sheep or of his cattle. And we'll learn shortly that he's not allowed to give all of his sheep and cattle, but he can give part of his sheep and cattle. That's one category. Category number two of assets that you can put a cheirim on, me'avadav u'mishichas avakananim, from his non-Jewish slaves, female and male. So me'avad u'mishichas avakananim, that's category number two. He can give part of them, not all of them. And category number three of assets that you can make a cheirim, u'misteachuzah, he can give part, not all of them. V'mi'echrim eskulan, if he gave any one category, but the full category, either one, two, or three of those categories, if you try to give all of his sheep and cattle, for example, Eina Muchmorim, the Cherim doesn't work, the Ivrei, Rabbi Elazar, that's the view of Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Ma'im Lagavo, he agrees, but he learns, fundamentally agrees, but he learns something from that Tanakama, and he says, if this applies that when you want to give a Cherim to something, you're not allowed to give away all of your assets, that's giving a Cherim to the base of Mikdash, that's giving a Cherim to the Kohanim, and you're not allowed to give all the way the assets. Kal v'chomer, you're not allowed to give all of your assets away for to somebody else. Even for tzedakah purposes, if you can't do it for the base of Mikdash, you can't give it to people. Ma'im lagavoa, ein adam rashi la'acharim es kol nechasav. When it comes to giving it to the base of Mikdash, you're not allowed to give a cheirim of all of your assets. Alachas kam v'kamashi adam chayav liyos chas al nechasav. Certainly, when it comes to giving away your assets, even for tzedakah, you have to not give away everything because hamevazus al yevazus yischoy. You're not allowed to give even more than a chomesh based on the pashas at the Gemara. You can't give away everything, certainly. Mishnah talks about items that cannot be given as a cheirim. Chamacharim binobito. Somebody who attempts to give a cheirim of his son or his daughter, avdovishiv chasava ivrim, his Jewish slaves, ustei miknaso, or a field. Not one that is a stay achuzah that he has and he has full ownership of, but one that he bought and he has ownership of until Yovel come. Any of those, eina muhramim, you can't make a cheirim from that. Why not? Sheina dama achrim davar sheina shlo. You can't make a cheirim on something that you don't own. You don't own for these purposes your children, your Jewish slaves, or a stay mikna. You only have it effectively as a lease up into Yovel, but not thereafterward. And now we're going to talk about certain people who cannot make a cheirim to Kohanim. Now we're not talking about the assets, but certain people can't make a cheirim, and it's going to focus on Kohanim and Levim. So the Tanakhama says as follows, Kohanim and Levim, Eina machrimim divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is of the view that Kohen cannot make a cheirim, a Levi cannot make a cheirim. Rabbi Shimon agrees when it comes to Kohanim, but disagrees when it comes to Levim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, HaKohanim and machrimim, I agree with you, a Kohen can't make a cheirim, Shacharamim Shalem, because why? Because a Kohen can't make a cheirim, because ultimately the cheirim is going to wind up in the ownership of the Kohen. You can't make a cheirim if you're going to be the owner in the end of the day. However, the Levim, Halavim Achrim and Malevi can make an item as a Cherim because they would not wind up with ownership of it. It would wind up with the Kohanim, not the Levim. So Halavim Achrim and Malevi can be Machrim, Shein Achrimim Shalem because they do not receive the Cherim. So the Machlok is when it becomes to a Levi. Rabbi Yehuda says a Levi cannot make a Cherim. And Rabbi Shimon says a Levi can make a cheirim. And what's going to be interesting now is in certain instances, Rabbi Yehuda is going to agree with Rabbi Shimon. In another instance, Rabbi Shimon is going to agree with Rabbi Yehuda as follows. Rabbi Omer, nearing divrei Rabbi Yehuda, the view of Rabbi Yehuda that a Levi cannot be make a cheirim, that Rabbi Shimon agrees with when it comes to karkos, when it comes to a karka lands, shenamar, as this is a pasuk that deals with the fields of a city that were given to the Kohanim Levim, ki achuzas olam chulaem, the Levi, the Kohen, they have to own it forever, so they cannot make a cherim. So in this situation, when it comes to karka, everyone would agree that neither Kohanim nor Levim, neither Kohen nor Levi can make a cherim of karka, v'divrei Rabbi Shimon b'metatlin, and Rabbi Yehuda will agree with Rabbi Shimon that a Levi can make a cherim when it comes to metatlin. Why? Because when they have a personal asset, a movable asset, they can sell it to somebody. So if they can sell it to somebody, they can also make it a cheirim. Sheina choramam shalem, and the cheirim is not going to wind up theirs. That, so the limitation is only a kohen not making a cheirim when it comes to metaltalin, but not a levi. Mishnah Vav will bring us a nafkamina between the two types of cheirim, a cheirim of kohanim and the cheirim of to a bedek abayis. Cheirme kohanim ein lampidim. When it comes to the cheirim of kohen, if somebody says, I'm making a cheirim to a kohen, they designate a kohen, they have to give the actual item. They cannot give money instead of the item. So, Cherimei, Kohanim, Einan pidyon. You can't be poded that item and replace it with something else. You have to give the actual item. Ella nitanim lekohanim b'truma. They have to give the actual item, just like when it comes to truma. Truma, you have produce, you take it off, you have to give truma. You can't give money or something else instead of it. You actually have to give the truma produce to the coin. So same thing when it comes to achirim of a coin. Masha enkein, in contrast, when it comes to achirim of the bedek habayis, when somebody says, I'm donating this item to the bedek habayis, what's the bedek habayis going to do with it? They're going to sell it anyway. So when somebody may says that item, I'm going to give my table to the bedek habayis, he's allowed to replace it with something else. He can give the money instead. Now we have an interesting question. What happens if somebody just said, I'm giving a chayrim, but he didn't designate what type of chayrim? Is it a chayrim to the bedek habayis, that it's going to go to the Beis HaMikdash for overhead, or chayrim a coin, that it's going to go to a coin? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Omer, stam charamayim le bedek habayis. If somebody just said, I'm giving a chayrim, the default is it's going to the Beis HaMikdash, because the pasuk says, "Shenemar kol chayrim kodesh kodeshim hu laHashem." When it's any chayrim, it's kodesh kodesh kodeshim. It's going to go to Hashem. That means it goes to the Beis HaMikdash. So stam charamim, if somebody doesn't designate which type, it's going to go to the bedek habayis. It's going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. V'chachamim orim the other option. Stam charamim lakohanim. Stam chayrim, if somebody didn't designate what type of chayrim, it has to go to the kohanim. Shenemar, they rival a pasuk as well when talking about a steachuza. Kiste hachayrim lakohen tiachuza. So it says it's going to go to the kohen. So based on Chachamim, what did they do with the first pasuk? Im kein lama ne'amar kol chayrim kodesh kodeshim hu laHashem, which said that every chayrim is going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. That's talking about something totally different, which is the subject of the next Mishnah, fairly complicated. Shuku chal al kodeshi kodeshim al kodeshi kalim. If somebody has a korban, for example, it's a kodeshi kodeshim, it's an olor, kodeshi kalim, it's a shlamim, even though it's already been designated to be given as a korban, he is allowed to make it a chayrim. What does that mean? We'll see in the next Mishnah. It doesn't mean that it's no longer brought as a korban. Something that was designated as kodesh kodashim, kodesh kalim, it has to be brought as a korban. What it does mean, if he makes a chayrim, it's on top of that korban, he's going to have to pay something to the Beis HaMikdash based on the value of that underlying korban. What does that mean? Mishnah Zayin. Machrim, this is a repeat of what we just said, and now we'll explain it. Machrim adam es kodasha ben kodesh kodashim ben kodesh kalim. You can make a chayrim of a korban that's es kadoshav, whether that korban is kodshei kodshim or whether it is kodshei kalim. Now it can't be that the animal itself becomes a chayrim because it's already been committed to be brought as a korban. So it means something else. So now we're going to divide up. There are two types of korbanos, a neder and a nedava. A neder means I accept on behalf of myself to give a certain type of korban, and then I choose the korban, but if something happens to that specific animal, I'm still on the hook. I am responsible because I say, I'm going to bring an ola. It wasn't limited to a specific animal. Accordingly, if somebody makes a chayrim on top of a korban, im neder, if that underlying korban, if that underlying animal was based on a neder, that the person has responsibility if something happens to that animal is worth to him the full value because he's on the hook if it gets lost. No sin es adamim. So he's going to have to give the chayrim that he has to give, it's going to actually have to be the full value of that animal. On the other hand, if it's a nedava, if somebody says, I'm going to give a chayrim based on an animal that's a nedava, if something happens to that animal, he doesn't have to replace it. So it doesn't have full value to him for that underlying animal. What he has to do is no sin is tova, so he has to give what the benefit is to him of having that animal. It's not the full value of that animal, so what is it? The value is he's bringing a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the standard is going to be as follows. If somebody says, shor ze ola, somebody designated a shor, an animal, an ox, that he's going to bring in as a korban ola, so we will evaluate things. We're going to appraise it. Omdim kam adam rotze liten b'shor ze lalosa ola sheino rashai. Somebody who's not obligated, that sheino rashai, to bring a korban, and we go up to him and said, how much would you pay to bring a korban? If he were on the hook, if he's obligated to bring a korban, then the animal would be the full value for him, the actual cost of it. However, somebody who's not obligated to bring a korban, he would be willing to pay less, but he wants to bring a korban to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's going to be willing to pay less. That's the benefit to him of bringing in the korban. So to hear, if we have somebody who makes a chayrim on an animal, and the underlying korban is a nedava, what's the benefit to him? The benefit for him is to bring a korban that he's not obligated to bring. That is the amount that this person who's making the chayrim on a nedava is going to have to donate as the chayrim. Now we're going to talk about a chayrim made on a bechor. A bechor is an animal that has to be given to the kohen, but it hasn't been given to the kohen yet, and somebody says, I'm going to make a chayrim, I'm going to give the chayrim value of this animal. What does that mean? So the Mishnah continues, ha bechor bein tamim Bein Baal Mum, if somebody has this Bechor still in his possession, it's the firstborn of certain animals, and he has to give it to the Kohen, whether it is a tamim, it has no blemishes, or whether it has a blemish, either way it has to go to the Kohen. Machrimim oto, you can make a cheirim on it. But what does that mean? Keitas apodim oto. How do we put a value? How do we determine the value when somebody makes a cheirim on top of the Bechor? Because the Bechor, we're not talking about, because the Bechor has to go to the Kohen. He has a financial commitment now. Hapodim, those who assessed it, omdim, they will have to appraise kama adam rotza litem bebechor ze litno leben bito or leben achos. So even though somebody has a bechor, that has to be given to the coin, but he still has a financial ownership somehow in it. He can financially benefit that if somebody comes to him, not a coin, but if Yisrael comes to him and says, I will pay you something to give that bechor to a relative of mine. And here the example is, give it to my grandson via my daughter. His daughter was Yisrael, but she married a Kohen, so his grandson is a Kohen, or he has a nephew that's a Kohen. And somebody comes and says, I'll pay you something to give that to my relative. So there is a monetary value to that bechor, even though the person has to give it away. That is the amount that if somebody makes a cheirim on an animal, that's a bechor, that's the amount that he's going to have to give to the Beis HaMikdash. And now we have the makor, we're going to learn the source, that even though you have a bechor that has to be given to the coin, it can still be made a cheirim. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, there are two psukim that conflict, kasuv echad omer takdish. One pasuk says you can be makdish the bechor, it's a bechor, how can you be makdish it? V'kasuv echad omer al takdish. The second pasuk seems to make more sense, it's a bechor, how, and it says you can't be makdish it. So can you be makdish it or not makdish it? E'ef shalomar takdish, you can't say that I can be makdish the bechor, shekvar nemar al takdish, because the other pasuk says you can't be makdish the bechor. Yes shalomar al takdish, but it can't be that I can't be makdish it, shekvar nemar al takdish, because the other pasuk says you can be makdish it. So we can understand lo takdish, you can't be makdish the bechor, because it's a bechor, it has to be given to the coin. So what are we going to learn from that you can be makdish it? It has to be talking about something else. What's it talking about? Our very issue, that when you say I am giving a cheirim on a bechor, that is going to be effective. That I can add an additional hektish on the bechor. What is that? That is going to be that I can commit to give a cheirim. However, because it's a bechor, I can't say I'm giving it as a hektish to the mizbeach, because it's a bechor. So I cannot, when I say this is a makdish, I'm giving it as a cheirim, that doesn't mean that bechor goes as a korban, but it does mean that it can be made a cheirim, and you're going to have to pay the amount we discussed to the Beis HaMikdash or to the Kohen.